Thursday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and all across Eastern Iowa on the historic Main Gym, 1600 AM, the brand new 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, as well as online, kgymradio.com. Plenty of ground to cover over the next 2 hours, and with us helping out doing that, Buttons on the other side of the glass. First thing he said to me, last thing he said to me before I walked in the door today, I'm ready to give those tickets away. He is itching to give away tickets to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top coming to the Iowa Events Center, Wells Fargo Arena in October. And I tell you what, I'm going to make him a happy man because we're going to give away those tickets here in the first 55 minutes of the program. How about that? Chris Emma, 670 WSCR, the score in Chicago, set to join us coming up in 25 minutes. Got some Bulls news. Sounds like there's some restructuring going on in the Bulls front office. We'll talk Blackhawks hockey with him as well as the kickoff to spring training contests for the Cubs and White Sox this weekend. Lots to get to with Chris. And then Bill Landis of The Athletic is going to be with us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. Ohio State and Iowa going at it tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Top 25 showdown, big game for the Hawks, big game for the Buckeyes, and we'll cover it from both ends with Bill. We'll even do Love It or Leave It today before 6 o'clock. The floor is yours, 319-366-1600. That is the First Federal Credit Union text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. And if you're interested in making $200 just for opening a new checking account, we've got the details for you at firstfedcu.com/KGYM. Alex, convince me that Iowa doesn't beat Ohio State tonight. I've got the Hawkeyes winning this game, and I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern. Am I wrong?
If C.J. Frederick doesn't play, there is a chance that they don't win this game.
Okay, well, that was fast. Thanks for coming. We'll chat with you tomorrow. You talked me off it pretty quick. I was confident. I kicked the door in. I said, I'm going to have the energy today to do this show. I'm not going to slog my way to the finish line. Iowa's going to win the game tonight. 2 seconds later, okay, let's wrap it up. You're a little concerned.
I wonder how much they can keep kind of grinding games out if CJ's not playing. And the only thing that gives me pause here is the way that Joe Wieskamp has kind of been locked up and singled out by other teams when he doesn't have another great shooter on the floor to spread the floor. And the only reason I'm saying this is, once again, math becomes a concern. Simple arithmetic. Where are the points going to come from? Right, we know that Luka Garza is going to score 20 to 25. But it seems like at times nobody else out on the floor can score, but the game is at home. So I do think Iowa wins, but I'm not just automatically putting it into the win column because they're going to have to earn every single point that they get if C.J. Frederick does not play tonight.
There are still tickets available for this game tonight. At least there were as of, I believe, 11 o'clock today when Iowa put that out there. And two top 25 teams. Maybe it's everything else going on, a lot of high school sports taking away from this matchup tonight. Maybe it's the fact that it's a 6 o'clock game for TV purposes, and it makes it difficult. I would think Carver-Hawkeye Arena would be packed tonight. I think this would be a sellout, and the crowd would be rocking. We'll see. I think the atmosphere is going to be great. You've got one of the premier matchups of big men in the country. I mean, Caleb Wesson versus Luka Garza. This, to me, is who stays out of foul trouble? Who stays on the court the longest? Who logs the most minutes between those two? And you get a little home cooking, a little help from the officiating, as has often been the claim in the Big Ten. People like to say that the officials bail the home teams out. Maybe Caleb Wesson picks up an early foul or two. And I don't think C.J. Frederick plays tonight. I think there's a difference between being able to run on a bad ankle, which the report was yesterday, Fran McCaffrey's news conference, they said Frederick was moving around on it. It's one thing to do some light jogging. It's another thing to have to play a Big Ten basketball game where you're cutting and doing a lot of movements that I can't imagine his ankle is going to be up to the challenge tonight. Take him out of the equation, and I agree with you. Math has been a concern for me since I was in third grade.
I'm not saying they're going to lose this game by any means, but this is a 2.5-point spread. Ohio State is playing good basketball. I'm just not ready to toss this one into the win column, knowing how shorthanded this team may be going into the night. Can they win? Absolutely. Will they? That's a different question.
87-21 said, I think they're talking about you. You're so negative, you said Iowa was going to lose to Minnesota.
Yeah, and they were down by 8 with 3 minutes remaining.
By the way, may we have a moment of silence here? I know this is not something that you normally do on the radio. Dead air, a.k.a. silence, is frowned upon in this business. But let us all take a moment to pause and remember the basketball season Minnesota had. Because
stick a fork in them.
It came to an end last night at the hands of the Indiana Hoosiers. We mentioned that it was sort of a de facto elimination game at Williams Arena. I watched.
Eliminated.
And it's the fat lady, she's singing for Richard Pitino. Maybe John Beilein is eyeing a return to the Big Ten. Who knows? I think there's going to be some other programs perhaps positioned a little bit better to have success that will come calling for John Beilein. But the de facto eliminator last night goes to Archie Miller and the Indiana Hoosiers. Iowa and Ohio State tonight, we touched on that one already. Another Iowa team playing a pretty consequential basketball game tonight. It's in the state of Indiana. You and I taking on our old pal Greg Lansing in Terre Haute at the Holman Center.
Another tough matchup. We're looking at two games that are very highly consequential for Iowa and you and I, and that you and I one, I'm not ready to chalk that one up as a win either. Indiana State is very tough at home, and they need this win. They've lost 3 games in a row, but at the same time, so does you and I. If they even want to have a prayer at a resume, at an at-large bid resume.
Two games, two different storylines, a similarity. You've got a questionable guard. Now, Iowa isn't going to have C.J. Frederick on the floor tonight. You and I is going to have A.J. Green out there. The issue with him is he's going to be wearing that protective mask because he broke his nose over the weekend in the loss to Loyola. And to me, how do you respond to that? Does that affect you at all as far as your shooting, as far as your breathing? We chatted with Gary Reimer yesterday, and I never really even thought about how that mask may affect your breathing or make you even subconsciously think that you're uncomfortable. And he's not only scoring, he's out there distributing the basketball as well. So the $64,000 question for the Panthers tonight is, do they have the A.J. Green that they're accustomed to? Or if he's off his game tonight, are they able to overcome that? You and I is a 3.5-point favorite at the Holman Center tonight. I failed to mention Iowa, a 2.5-point favorite over Ohio State at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I think both teams win tonight. I think you and I's... Indiana State had been really good at home. Missouri State went in there a couple days ago and I think won by 9-10 points. So you and I is the better team here, although as you pointed out, Indiana State is sort of backed into a corner here. They've gone into a tail slide. If they're going to resurrect things, if they're going to finish the season strong, they need a win tonight at home against you and I. I just don't think they get it.
Yeah, and I think that we've discussed that they're playing for their coach's job. At this point, Greg Lansing, former Iowa assistant, has done a great job at Indiana State. They've gone into a little bit of a tailspin as of late. And can they put together a run at the end of the season to keep him there in Terre Haute? He said it. He said at the beginning of the season that he was on the hot seat, and they needed some results this year to keep him there. So I think we're going to see two really motivated teams. And I also think that both Iowa and you and I are going to win tonight, but look at the point spreads. This is neck and neck. I think we're going to see two very good games, actually, and some compelling basketball in the state of Iowa tonight.
Michigan State is at Nebraska tonight. The Huskers are a heavy underdog at home. We'll see how Michigan State's able to perform. Spartans, by the way, 1-7 on the road against the spread this season. So If you're into those sorts of things, perhaps take that into account. Last night, another Big Ten game haven't had a chance to get to yet. Rutgers finally lost at home. Rutgers' luck finally ran out, and Michigan seems to have maybe turned a little bit of a corner here. We're going to have Bill Landis on of The Athletic, who covers Ohio State, in the 5 o'clock hour. He wrote earlier today that Ohio State's season has been a three-act play. Maybe we're seeing the start of the third act here for Juwan Howard and the Wolverines, because they seem to be coming together and finding themselves at just the right time. I thought Rutgers was going to win that game last night. I think they were ahead at the half, and then Michigan was able to take care of business in the second half. So kind of surprised to see that one myself.
I was too. 17-0 was Rutgers at the rack entering last night's game. Now they're 17-1. I think it was Jerry Palm earlier this week that was writing about Rutgers and saying that you wonder what the selection committee is going to look at their resume, because they have quad one wins, and normally 18-9 right now, they're pretty safely in, but they've only won one game this season away from the rack, and no other team has ever gotten into the NCAA tournament with less than 3 road victories. So to me, I look at that loss last night to Michigan at the rack, and now if I'm a Rutgers fan, I'm a little nervous and thinking, okay, can we get this game on the road against Wisconsin? Maybe we win at the end of the season against Purdue, and they cannot lose that game at home to Maryland. If they beat Maryland, maybe that's another really big win for them. Maybe that solidifies their resume. But all of a sudden, things look a little bit for Rutgers as far as their NCAA tournament resume, because of the way that they've played on the road. They're 1-8 away from the rack.
Other things we didn't get a chance to get too in depth with this last night, it sort of came out as we were leaving the airwaves, but the NFL sounds like they're one step closer to tinkering with their postseason, adding a 7th postseason team and then taking away a bye from the team with the second best record in each league. So you'd have one team, the team with the best record in the AFC or the NFC, would get a bye. Everybody else would have to play. Fascinating stuff there. And then some news from spring training and the world of baseball today. It has to do with the Astros sign stealing.
Oh, it does?
Scandal.
No way.
Yeah.
Haven't heard of that story. What happened?
This is so crazy that anybody could be this tone deaf. But it was reported today that Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, didn't really prepare the organization for the firestorm of that followed, because he felt that by spring training, it was all going to blow over. It wasn't going to be a big deal, and that by spring training, everybody would have forgotten about this.
See, I want to say, wow, he's really dumb for thinking that. But then at the same time, it is 2020, and that's kind of how these things usually work, right? Our attention spans are not very long. And I'm not going to look outside the sport of baseball or look outside the sporting realm, but I think you know that news cycles and stories tend to have a shelf life of about 2 days, and then people kind of move on from them into their next outrage. I kind of understand why he thought that. He was wrong, though. There's no question he was wrong, but that seems to be a pretty common tactic among folks who are in charge of something, to kind of just ride the storm out and say, oh yeah, this is going to be forgotten about in about 3 days.
It just explains to you a major part of why this is going down the way that it has for the Astros. They just really had no idea that people would think that this was an issue. And then adding fuel to the fire today, you've got David Ortiz coming out, Big Poppy, who's taking the side of Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, basically saying that Mike Fiers shouldn't have blown the whistle on this. Fiers, by the way, has reportedly received death threats over having the audacity to file a complaint with Major League Baseball about the Astros participating in this sign stealing. Poppy went the route of blaming the snitch, which is ironic because Big Poppy himself has been accused of some questionable things in the past and is currently still recovering from that mysterious shooting in the Dominican Republic, right? That we never really got the full story on. But he's out there saying that this is all Mike Fiers' fault.
And that we need to chillax on and take it easy on Rob Manfred. That was his message today.
No, I will pass on taking it easy on Rob Manfred. I will continue to go. I'm a nobody, but I will continue to go at Rob Manfred until I take my last breath or he's no longer commissioner of baseball. Chances are I know which one's going to come along first. 319-366-1600. All's quiet on the Western Front today, Buttons. You got the phone lines turned off here. Nobody wants to talk about Iowa and Ohio State. Is everybody nervous tonight about Iowa and Ohio State?
11:56 on the First Federal Credit Union text line says the Hawks could go anywhere from winning three to losing five of their remaining games. Tonight's game is huge. Don't see them winning in East Lansing or Champaign. They do need this one. That's for sure. The remaining home games, Penn State, Purdue. I every time they step on the court with what amounts to a 7-man rotation and what amounts to one person that's capable of scoring, I just don't automatically chalk it up as a victory for them. They're tough. They have been able to withstand whatever feces has been thrown at them this season. And it's been a lot. It's been really since last offseason where it just keeps coming one after the other after the other. But at the same time, can Joe Wieskamp step up and have that type of game that he had against Maryland when CJ Frederick was out, where he scored 30 points? If he can, I think that Iowa wins in a rout over Ohio State, or wins pretty comfortably, I should say, over Ohio State. But that's no guarantee.
6019 on the text line wondering if DJ Carton is playing tonight for Ohio State. He is not.
He's not
going to be with the team. As a matter of fact, I guess a positive development for DJ Carton is he reportedly returned to school at the University at Ohio State today in Columbus. But he's not going to be with the team. He will not be playing tonight. And I can't help but imagine that there would be much more of a buzz surrounding this game if Carton were playing. But I'm much more comfortable knowing that he's taking care of himself and addressing his mental health concerns and trying to get right as a person. I could not care less about him as a basketball player right now. I'm concerned about this young man figuring things out, getting to a point in his life where he's comfortable. If he were playing tonight, obviously a huge storyline with his ties to the state of Iowa and how much Iowa went after him on the recruiting trail. The interesting thing here is that he's the most talented player on the Ohio State roster, but Ohio State's been playing better basketball without him. It doesn't mean that they're a better team. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he was holding them back at all. It's just a total coincidence in timing that with him out of the equation, suddenly Ohio State is playing lights out basketball and is looking to continue that tonight. A victory tonight would be win six of their last seven games. They've won five of their last six, playing really great basketball. And again, this is a marquee matchup between two great big men in Caleb Wesson and Luka Garza. If you can get Wesson in foul trouble tonight, I don't know if they have anybody else that they can turn to. I don't know if they have like a Creener type. So I think that's advantage Iowa. Let's go to the phone lines, 366-1600. We start with our very own Iowa super fan, the one and only Buddy Lee. He's probably already in line at Carver Hawkeye Arena or trying to figure out his way into the student section this evening. Buddy, do the Hawks get it done tonight?
I'm hoping so.
Don't give me this tonight. Hoping so. Tell me yes or no. I want a definitive answer.
I can't say that. The way the road team's been playing the last, three or four nights, it's going to be a shaky one, I think.
So you, you're a little concerned here over the fact that Big Ten teams have been finding success on the road here this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the win last night over Minnesota again, Rutgers losing, so I'm a little worried, but hopefully we can bring our A game tonight.
All right, no C.J. Frederick. Luka Garza is going to do Luka Garza things, but without Frederick, who steps up tonight?
It's going to have to be Wieskamp. It didn't look good the other night against Minnesota, but he's going to have to bring his A game for sure this week.
All right, buddy, have fun. You're going to the game, right?
No, I can't. No babysitters tonight.
Oh, you got dad duty. All right, well, you can watch it on ESPN with everybody else in Eastern Iowa. We appreciate hearing from you, and hopefully we're hanging out in person sometime sooner rather than later. Iowa and Ohio State, a 6 o'clock tip-off at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Tickets still remain. If you're unlike Buddy, if you're not tethered down with child, get yourself a ticket. Go take in a top 25 showdown tonight in Iowa City. Let's go back to the phone lines. 3530, our old pal Kyle. What's up, 3530?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to touch base a little bit with the MLB stuff, too. That whole, let's take it easy on Manfred. I'm with you guys on that. That, they can take that and shove it where, because, I mean, that's, basically like saying, trying to get Mike Fears and call him on the carpet and say that something he did was wrong. That's, I'm driving home right now, so that's like saying if I saw a hit-and-run accident that I should just look the other way and not do anything about it. That's just asinine. And, I like David Ortiz as a player, but, I mean, that he's had enough things in his past. He's had incidents with the old PED stuff, and also there's been an incident when he was a player, supposedly in the Dominican. He beat the crap out of some fan. You would have thought he would have learned his lesson from the whole Jessica Mendoza thing, because I don't know if you guys have commented on that or not, but since her comments, she lost her job with the Mets, and I think she got demoted to ESPN too. So I don't know. It's just shameful the way this whole thing has unfolded. But I don't know. I don't know if there is a good solution to it or not. I think the best solution right now that I've come up with is to get more involved with college baseball. I enjoyed some of that last weekend on ESPN3, and you guys had Coach Heller on yesterday, so I don't know, maybe that's a solution right now. But as far as the Hawkeye game goes, I'm hoping for the best, but I agree. I think Ohio State was kind of left for dead, and now they're playing pretty good ball, so it should be an interesting matchup. Thanks, guys.
Hoping for the best. Perhaps that's the most appropriate way to approach tonight's game if you're an Iowa fan. The Hawkeyes are a 2.5-point favorite. Ohio State, by the metrics, is a slightly better team than Iowa at this point, and defensive efficient. What is it? Adjusted defensive efficiency and adjusted offensive efficiency, and all matter of. Again, simple division oftentimes throws me for a loop. So you start getting into serious numbers and things of that nature, and I'm quickly out of the conversation. But on paper, these are two really good basketball teams, and Ohio State seems to have just a little bit of an edge. Iowa's won three of the last four meetings at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, but the last time these two teams crossed paths, it didn't end well for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. So your guess is as good as mine tonight. I can't pin you down. I can't tell you why, but I've got a feeling Iowa takes care of business. We should note, well, we've got the attention of most of our Iowa basketball audience. Connor McCaffrey will be with us tomorrow night at 5 o'clock inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com also with us, hopefully breaking down and looking back on a big win over Ohio State tonight. But we will have that game covered, win or lose. Connor, as we mentioned with Rick Heller yesterday on the program, not necessarily splitting his time between the two programs. He's focused on basketball until basketball season is over, and then we'll be rejoining the Iowa baseball program full-time. But we'll get his thoughts and his direct insight into how he's going about keeping both of those balls in the air when he joins us tomorrow night at 5. 319-366-1600. Again, Buttons wants to give those tickets away to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top. We were going to do that before 5 o'clock, so stick with us. Chris Emma, 670 WSCR in Chicago, coming up with us shortly. Lots to cover with him, from the Bulls and Blackhawks to the Cubs and White Sox. Chris, always gracious with his time when he joins us here in Eastern Iowa. Let's take care of a big board update. Fill folks in on all the college basketball that's going on tonight, Alex, and then we'll get Chris on the line.
A top 25 matchup is set to take place at Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight as the 20th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes will entertain the 25th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. The matchup will be the only one between the two teams this season. They split the regular season matchups last season with both teams winning at home. The Hawkeyes are looking to move to within a half game of second place in the Big Ten with a win. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Today, Connor McCaffrey, as Todd mentioned, who will join us on the Big Hour, was named to the NCAA Division I District 6 Academic All-District Team. So nice honors for Connor McCaffrey. The UNI men are looking to stay atop the MVC standings as they have another tough road game tonight. They're taking on Greg Lansing and the Indiana State Sycamores. Indiana State has been good at home this season, but they're riding a three-game losing skid into tonight's contest. Tip-off is also set for 6 p.m. at the Holman Center in Terre Haute, Indiana. The UNI women are at home tonight taking on Illinois State. The Panthers are looking to split the season series as they fell 65-57 to the Redbirds back on January 26th in Bloomington Normal, 6:30 for the tip-off.
All right, fantastic stuff as always, and we'll get on down the line here with Chris Emma of 670 WSCR. The score in Chicago, the Bulls look like they're restructuring their front office. The reaction to the All-Star game last weekend and the fans chanting for the firing of the front office. They didn't necessarily get everything that they were hoping for, but a restructuring on the way there, and Chris will weigh in on that as well as what to expect moving forward with the Blackhawks team that doesn't look like it's going to make the playoffs at this point. And of course, the kickoff to spring training, games underway this weekend in Arizona for the White Sox and the Cubs. Do want to note, for those of you who get the new Cubs TV network, the Marquee Sports Network, available on DirecTV, Hulu, and elsewhere, A.J. Puck, the Cedar Rapids native, is expected to be the starting pitcher in the Cactus League opener, the A's and the Cubs. It's going to be the first game broadcast on Marquee this weekend. So if you want to take a look and see how A.J. Puck looks, one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball, and the second best pitching prospect in Oakland behind fellow left-hander Jesus Luzardo, you can check it out on Channel 664 on DirecTV. I'm excited about this. I don't know how they're going to fill 24 hours of programming every day, but it's going to be fun being able to see the Cubs' spring training games. And unfortunately for them, I think their regular season lineup is going to look a lot like a spring training lineup from the start of the season. We'll see how things go. Chris Emma, 670 WSCR, the score in Chicago, joins us next.
Planning for home and yard improvements in 2020? Get all the latest tips and trends from the experts at the 41st Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builders Show, located at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. This year's show features the best products and services for your home and garden. Stop by Friday, February 21st through Sunday, February 23rd to see the displays and attend informative how-to seminars. Plus, Papa Balloon will be making fun balloon creations for the kids. The 41st Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builders Show, February 21st through the 23rd in the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center. Show hours are 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. Admission is just $5, and children under 12 are free. Sponsored annually by the Greater Cedar Rapids Housing and Building Association.
ID. Menards. Over 12,500 lights and ceiling fans are on sale. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. The 52-inch Midori 2 fan has an oil-rubbed bronze or brushed nickel finish with white glass. The blades are reversible between light oak and burnt maple. LED bulbs and remote control are also included. The Midori 2 fan is just $124.99. Find amazing deals throughout the store now at Menards. Prices are good through Saturday, February 22nd.
Save big money at Menards.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
4:33, welcome back in. That much closer to tip-off tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We're happy to have our Hawkeye fans still listening to us here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN. 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim O.T., available on 107.5 FM, featuring some alternative programming and the great shows, lineups from SB Nation and their radio network. It's all coming your way on the new Jim O.T., 107.5 FM. Online, streaming available, kgymradio.com. Vote in our poll question there today. It's as simple as who wins tonight in Iowa City between Ohio State and Iowa. You can weigh in between now and 6 o'clock when tip-off occurs. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. As we mentioned, lots of ground to cover with our next guest. It's been a while since we've checked in with Chris Emma of 670 WSCR, the score in Chicago. And what better time, Chris, than to have you on with us right now with the NBA All-Star Game just wrapped up in Chicago. The Bulls are undergoing some changes. You've got the Blackhawks trying to figure out the path forward here as the NHL season heads into the home stretch. And, of course, the Cubs and the White Sox getting underway in Arizona. Let's go ahead and start with the Chicago Bulls and the latest developments there. Are you surprised by what's going on with the Bulls?
You know, good to be with you. Nothing really ever surprised me with the Bulls. It was kind of a funny weekend, you know, all this all-star power coming in and the city was just shining. It was electric the whole weekend with the all-star game arriving, and then, you know, it all kind of leaves and you're back to Bulls reality. And I'm not sure they're going to do anything that really changes things dramatically with this organization. I think anybody with a basketball brain knows that you got to change the 17-year executive, John Paxson, whether it's firing him or demoting him to some different role. They need a fresh leadership structure. And we're now, what's being reported is that the Bulls are likely to demote Gar Foreman to a different role and have a different general manager serve under Paxson. So it's not the right kind of leadership structure, and it's not something that's going to produce major changes by any stretch of the imagination. So, at this point, what's being reported, what seems most likely or most realistic, is that Gar Foreman's demoted, Jim Boylan's fired, and then John Paxson is still overseeing this organization moving forward.
I was in Chicago over the weekend, and the city was electric. It's such a basketball town. There's really no excuse for the Chicago Bulls to be in the position that they're in. How much even more frustrating does it make it when you look around the league? You hear it all the time. Well, it's a cold city, so they may have trouble bringing in free agents. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, the Memphis Grizzlies, all these other teams in smaller markets who have much less resources and have a much less rabid fan base doing well, and the Bulls sort of sitting here in anonymity for years.
Yeah, you said it. You know, the cold weather thing, obviously, it's a real factor, but it's only one of many. You have to build a more attractive organization from top to bottom, and then you're not worried about it being a little bit cold out, which was cold this weekend, but that's beyond the point. You know, I talked with former NBA veteran Matt Barnes over the weekend, talking about the Bulls and Chicago basketball as a whole. And one idea he had was starting with cleaning house of Paxson and Boylan and Foreman, but also bringing in somebody like Barack Obama in the management role, where he's the guy that's kind of representing and maybe making a phone call to a, you know, an Anthony Davis when he hits the market this summer, somebody along those lines. You're not saying make Obama the GM by any means, but you're saying kind of rebuild the prestige of this organization in some form. This weekend you saw Chicago basketball put under the spotlight, and, you know, that introduction to the All-Star Game of the Common was so cool. What a perfect recruiting pitch at Chicago basketball. And then, like you said, you get rid of the All-Star glamour and everything that went into this past weekend, and you're just left with the Bulls organization, and there's zero appeal to the point where even John Paxson has conceded. They're not at a point where they can be attracting big-time free agents. That's a damning statement from a head of basketball operations like Paxson to say, nobody should want to come here. It's to the point where they made that deal last year to get Otto Porter, essentially taking on a free agent by trade. So, yeah, the Bulls are in a very bad spot, and they need to be creative, but it's pretty clear change for this organization starts with cleaning house.
Let's say that they do clean house and that they start over completely fresh. I know Casey Johnson threw Chad Buchanan's name out there, the current Pacers GM. He's a native of the state of Iowa, coached at Drake for a little while. They start over fresh. What's the timeline, you think, before they could get back to respectability? How quickly could they do it?
You know, well, that's the thing now. Once you get if it is a different GM, whether it's you know, passing a charter or whatever the leadership structure is, then you decide, is this rebuild still the right way? It's not even a rebuild anymore. It's, do you trust this current core? Or do you have to blow it up again, start fresh, clean house of the roster too? Or is it just, you know, the front office and you worry about getting free agents from there? They have some major decisions to make because, obviously, there's a lot of dysfunction with this organization. I think you have one star pretty clearly in Zach LaVine. I think he should have been an all-star, but beyond that, you have to figure out, you know, some issues. For example, is Lowry marking its regression this season just related to the injury that shut him down, or how much of it is his ill fit in Jim Boylan's system? Same goes with all these other guys. You got to figure out what you can salvage, take inventory from that, and be realistic. If it means you have to rebuild this thing all over again, then you do it. You do whatever you can to get you beyond this point where, you know, they took the step back from mediocrity before the rebuild to just being one of the worst teams in the league now. So you have to be really honest with yourself at this point, and that should be the job of a new, fresh set of eyes instead of Paxson and Foreman. But, you know, if Paxson's overseeing things, then you're probably stuck with the same old.
You mentioned John Paxson saying that they're not able to attract big-time free agents. Is the irony of all of this that it's probably the culture that he and Gar Foreman and Jerry Reinsdorf have built there that has built a bad reputation among the players around the league?
Yeah, I mean, that's a natural follow-up question for Paxson, right, is why. And, you know, he continues to default on, we had a young roster, and, you know, players don't necessarily believe in that, but players don't necessarily believe in Paxson. I mean, that came from my conversation with Barnes, too, because I asked him about, you know, this guy's a really respected former veteran player, and he's played along, you know, alongside a guy like Kobe Bryant and some of these all-time great players. And he's aware of the perception, Barnes, is that, you know, the Bulls organization is not attracted because of the people in charge. Where, you know, you look at, for example, when the Lakers were recruiting LeBron James in, and you got Magic Johnson leading that. And all these teams, that if you don't have these star power players, have a star power presence to attract players, to get those big name premier free agents. And the Bulls don't have any appeal right now. They have to find ways to make this organization more attractive. You know, Zach LaVine's an ideal representative, and, you know, apparently this weekend he was talking to some of these all-star players and trying to do some recruiting, but I can't imagine anybody's really taking it too seriously when really LaVine's the only attractive piece to this organization right now.
Chris Emma, 670 WSCR, The Score, joining us here in Eastern Iowa for a few more minutes. From one organization spinning its wheels to another organization spinning its wheels. NHL trade deadline coming up on Monday. Pretty clear that the Blackhawks could probably go ahead and make some moves at this point, especially that after that loss to the Rangers last night. Are we going to see them make any decisions here before Monday?
Yeah, what a disappointing season it's been for them. They felt they were ready to take a step forward, and some of these young guys are going to really mesh well with the core players. And you know, they have to accept the reality now. You can't go forward trying to compete or make some kind of run that's all for naught. You have to sell. You have to make the moves to aggressively rebuild this organization around the contracts that you're tied to. And there's not a lot they can do per se in terms of the way they can sell and the way they can make these moves. But the one guy that stands out above all is Brandon Saad. And he's going to be an attractive piece for contending teams. And I think that's somebody that is probably the most likely big name to be moved. Any talk of Taser Kane is far-fetched. Those guys aren't going anywhere. You'll get some complimentary pieces like an Eric Gustafson, somebody like that if you get moved. But the conversation should start with Saad. If you're able to get a good return, make that move. Try to get some more young pieces in and see if this thing can further along next season.
Chris, let's head to Mesa, Arizona. What are your thoughts on Chris Bryan in the leadoff spot?
Yeah, you know, I understand why they want to do that. I understand why they came out with it yesterday, as a matter of fact. You know, coming off this past weekend of Bryan staking his claim with his team and an offseason of discussions with his name being linked to trades, it solidifies his place publicly for the 2020 season. He's probably the best fit in terms of, you know, structuring a lineup at, you know, 385 on base, and a guy who really gives a quality at bat. It kind of sets you up naturally now with the righty-lefty mix with Rizzo going second and Baez and so on, which is now more important that there's no, you know, there's the batter, the new relief pitcher rule and the batter minimum. So I understand why they want to do it. I'd also like to see Nico Horner get a fair shot at an everyday spot and perhaps down the line as that leadoff guy, because I think Horner's their best setup for a leadoff guy moving forward. And, you know, now they got Jason Kipnis in the mix, and David Bodie's going to be a part of that. But, you know, Horner's a stud hitter. This is a guy who knows how to give a professional at bat. I talked to him a month ago about this leadoff spot, and he's really likes the idea of being that table setter for the big bat. So, Ryan makes sense for the short term, but I think he's just kind of another desperate move trying to get somebody in that spot and figure things out.
The Marquee Network makes its debut this weekend. Are you able to see it in Chicago, Chris, or are you one of the many folks who are currently without access to it?
Yeah, I'm without access. I'm an Xfinity customer, kind of waiting that one out. There's optimism somewhere that it could get resolved, but, you know, the first game of the debut of the network is Saturday, and the first spring training game, so I'm not expected to see it. I don't know what it's. I think a lot of Cub fans here locally are panicking because Comcast Xfinity is the biggest cable service provider in the area. So they took a big step forward. Marquee did with the Hulu TV package. It gives kind of an alternative and something that's, you know, a low-cost you know, streaming network that you're able to really kind of jump on and see this whole thing unfold. But, you know, the content looks really cool. I like what Marquee's done about the way they're presenting things. I mean, if you're a Cub fan or a baseball fan, they got a great, you know, team of analysts and a lot of good behind-the-scenes stuff. And, you know, it's going to break down this organization really well. But this is a huge set they still are really struggling to figure out. And what Craig Kenny had said, you know, the president of business operations about a few weeks ago, was that they're offering the same price that they did to everybody else. And Xfinity and Comcast are the biggest cable service provider in the Chicagoland area. So somebody's got to break. Somebody's got to come a little closer to the middle. And the way I read it, it's probably the Cubs that have to make their move.
Chris, are you starting to feel the optimism from Chicago White Sox fans heading into the season for the first time in years?
You know, it was really cool. Sox Fest last month, end of January. And you get everything packed into the McCormick Place. They had a sellout crowd. You just feel the energy around this team. And not just, you know, in terms of names and optimism, but the personality this group has. This team has major star potential. A lot of really young, exciting players and guys who are just going to be, you know, attractive young stars. Guys who are going to be, you know, somebody you want to put on a billboard or somebody you want to put on commercials. I mean, this team has a chance to really take over the town for the next 10 years. And we'll see how good they are in 2020. You know, obviously the Twins look pretty formidable once again. The Indians, who knows where they go. But I'd be willing to buy stock on this White Sox team for 2020 and many years to come.
How quickly do we see Nick Madrigal make his debut this season?
Yeah, you know, obviously there's always the lingering service time issues. But what I said about Nico Horner, I feel really similar to Nick Madrigal, another guy who – You know, electric bat, you know, he's got some Pedroia to him, and I know it's kind of the natural comparison, but I'd like to see him be that guy to win over the second base job. And, you know, Danny Mendick doesn't really excite me too much. I don't really know if they have any good alternative for that second base spot. It sounds like they're kind of waiting for Madrigal to win them over. This is a guy who was an accomplished hitter at the college level, been a tremendous hitter at the minor league level. Now you're just waiting for him to show that he can make the adjustments necessary to make the league pitching. But the beauty of this deep lineup is that you can plug him into that ninth spot, and he's basically, you know, a second table setter for, you know, the guys of Moncada and Anderson at the top of the order, and, you know, the big sluggers to follow. So, but you don't have to plug him into a key spot or trust him to really break through this year. Madrigal's got the stuff where he can really produce at the ninth spot. You let him get settled in, get established, and figure things out.
Chris, you wrote about this at 670score.com, but the news coming out of the NFL is that the owners have passed a new CBA, and now it's going to go to the NFL Players Association. Some of the new rules that they want: a 17-game regular season, a 14-game playoff format. First of all, what are your thoughts? Second of all, do you think that the NFL Players Association are going to go for this?
I like the setup in terms of the 14-team playoff. I think more football is great. I'll never argue against that. I got questions in terms of the players' perspective for the 17-game schedule, and specifically, you know, this new wrinkle that Tom Pelissero just put out, saying that the game check for the 17th game would be capped at $250,000, that really kind of puts it in a spot where, you know, these players are going to be shorted money. And I don't know why they would agree to that. I mean, players have been resistant to accept the 17th game as a whole. I think they're fine with the 14-team playoff and that new system, but they've been resisting the 17-game idea for the few years that this has been put out there. And if they're going to be kept on their pay, then you send that back to the owners and say, no, figure this one out. So obviously the owners are set to make major profits, which is why they've been pushing for that 17th game. But if it's not right for the players and their contractual setup, I don't see why they'd agree to this. So the owners have also kind of crafted this one out with a statement today saying that they'd like a response by next week because it goes in conjunction with new rules for franchise tag and transition tags. There would only be one. Teams would be limited to that. The tagging deadline or tagging can start next week on the 25th. So it's an informal deadline, and the NFL owners are really trying to push this thing along. But I don't know if it's right for the players. So at this point, I think it's going to be sent back.
I haven't seen any rumors about Tom Brady buying any property in Chicago, but I know there's some discussion about the Bears maybe looking at some other quarterback alternatives, maybe just in the short term. What's your best guess as to what the quarterback situation will look like next year at Halas Hall?
I'm fascinated, man. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. You know, part of me believes the Bears in that they really think that Mitchell Trubisky can break through in some form this season. Progress from a major regression in 2019. I also don't take Ryan Pace at his word for much of anything because he's bluffing in front of the media more often than not. And he had no reason to say anybody other than Mitch Trubisky is going to be the quarterback in 2020. I think most likely they're going to look for, you know, an upsidey backup, somebody, you know, not an exciting name. A guy like a Case Keenum would be there, and he's the available guy to compete with Mitch. And if Mitch isn't making that jump this season, then you can just move to Keenum eventually. But I also know that Ryan Pace has moved aggressively during his time as general manager, and he's made the pushes necessary, backing his roster, and he really feels this roster is set to contend for a championship, which leads me to believe that when somebody like a Derek Carr is put out there as a trade candidate, or an Andy Dalton, or even some of these bigger names, you know, somebody like a Brady or a Rivers even, I think Ryan Pace understands the window of opportunity within Khalil Mack's contract more than Mitchell Trubisky's contract. Now, you have to look at Mack's contract as the structure for a window of contention, and you have to fit a championship-level quarterback or even just a game manager within that window, because obviously Trubisky did not get the job done last season, in part because of his own struggles, in part because the inconsistencies of the play calling and the offense around him. But they have to figure things out and go from there. So if you feel much better with an accomplished veteran quarterback or even to somebody who's proven that he's a capable starter, make that move and make sure you solidify this window so it's still wide open.
Chris, great stuff as always. We didn't even get a chance to talk with you about how great it is to have Mark Trestman back in the lives of football fans everywhere. We will touch base with you down the road. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Chris Emma, 670 WSCR in Chicago. Give him a follow on Twitter at CEmma670.
The NFL owners put out the fact that, oh, yeah, we're making some changes. We've agreed upon those changes. Has Adam Schefter, they have Adam Schefter report it. They want to add a 17th game, and they want to shortchange the players for their game checks in that 17th game. Gosh, they are a one-of-a-kind group of people, that is for sure.
They actually aren't, because I think the MLB owners would probably do something just as short-sighted if you allowed them to. It's all about the money. It's all about, hey, let's expand the playoffs. Let's tinker with the one thing that doesn't really need tinkering with. The one thing that's not broken, right? Everybody likes the postseason.
Yes.
It puts an emphasis on what happens in the regular season. And now you got two of the four major sports that are saying, hey, let's make these big changes.
Yeah, players cannot agree to that. I don't care how much they get pinned up against the public. Damaris Smith, have a backbone. Send that back. No way you can agree to that.
I don't think there's any way that you can either. If you're going to, you have to be paid. You have to be paid a regular wage
or more because you're adding a game.
But you know what? I think they feel as if the public will take their side on it, because you know what
exactly
it's going to look like. It's going to look like these ungrateful millionaires out there. How much money do you need? Well, guess what? You walk into work tomorrow and your boss tells you, hey, we're increasing your work week from Monday to Friday to Monday to Saturday. And when you work on Saturday, you're going to get paid about 70% of what you would, your hourly wage between Monday and Friday. You wouldn't take that. You don't have to be a millionaire to say, hey, wait a minute, my work here is valuable. But fascinating that this came out and it seemed like a done deal yesterday. And now all of a sudden you find out today, wait a minute, players haven't signed off on this. Take a quick timeout. Speaking of signing off, when we come back, he's looking through the glass at me right now like I forgot. How can I forget? You've been reminding me for 45 minutes. When we come back, Buttons is going to give you tickets to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top. We'll have the details when we return after this.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum interior paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month. Gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Time for an oil change? Don't sweat it. We've got the deals to help you get even more out of that tax return and get ready to take care of that oil change, like 5 quarts of STP high mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $21.99. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When you order Little Caesars Delivery, you'll save $5 or more over the other national chains on delivered pizza. It's the cherry on top of your pizza. Well, not an actual cherry, more of a metaphorical cherry, which is kind of a good band name.
Hello, we are Metaphorical Cherry!
Pizza, pizza.
Savings claim is based on the price of a delivered pizza order with delivery fees for the top four national pizza chains on a national basis. Comparisons based on one more large Little Caesars pizzas with up to five toppings and the other three pizza chains' comparable large pizzas sold at everyday menu prices. Delivery available from participating locations with online orders only plus sales tax.
And now another edition of Obvious News from GEICO.
Obvious News!
Experts now say that wearing more clothes in the winter will, in fact, help you be warmer. We asked cold victim Trent Patterson about this, and here's what he said.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I was a little cold, put on a sweater, then wasn't cold. I was like, what?
Also in Obvious News, GEICO makes it easy to save money and easy to reach them, with licensed agents available around the clock. So switching is a really smart decision. That's Obvious News from GEICO.
Obvious News!
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, coming up in hour number two tonight, Bill Landis, who covers the Ohio State Buckeyes for The Athletic, will give us a preview of what to expect a little over an hour from now at Carver-Hawkeye Arena as the Buckeyes and Hawkeyes tangle in a top 25 showdown on ESPN. Before we can take care of that and love it or leave it, though, Buttons has another pair of tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Def Leppard and ZZ Top coming to the Iowa Events Center, Wells Fargo Arena in October. October 10th is the date of the concert. Tickets for this concert go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. But if you want to buy them right now, you can go to the Iowa Events Center website and you can put in the code DL, capital D, capital L, 2020. That pre-sale code is good until 10 p.m. tonight if you want to buy tickets to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top, the 2020 Vision Tour, coming to Wells Fargo Arena. Or you can just be caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. Buttons will award you caller number 6 with a pair of tickets to that concert in October. More details on how you can buy those tickets right now before they go on sale to the general public tomorrow morning by visiting our Facebook page, KGYM Radio. And again, that code DL2020. Bill Landis of The Athletic previews tonight's top 25 showdown when we return.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. The proposed CBA accepted by NFL owners today, their vote, though, not unanimous. If players approve the plan, that means the NFL will have labor peace through 2029. CBA contains some major changes like 17 regular season games and expanded playoffs. Expanding the postseason makes more of the regular season matter, and that is a good thing, believes ESPN's Marcus Spears.
I like the fact that the league is creating more of a playoff atmosphere. We all know, once the NFL gets to this second part of the season, how exciting it is for fans and people that are watching the game, and managing to do that without adding an extra playoff game, but also incentivizing teams to be the first round bye.
In a highly unusual move, the Nevada State Athletic Commission banned Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury from engaging in a face-off after their weigh-in tomorrow. During yesterday's news conference, security rushed the stage after Wilder and Fury pushed each other. The two men fight on Saturday, the main event of an ESPN Plus pay-per-view card.
Coming up on a Fightin' Friday, two big men in a big fight in Vegas. To the hardwood where it's a fight down the stretch, plus a fight between the owners and the players in two leagues. Fightin' Friday on Golic and Wingo. I will stick you. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
The boys' regular season concludes this Thursday night with a showdown for a division championship. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Phil Dunham Thursday at 7:20 on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 107.5 FM as number 2-rated Waterloo West meets Prairie. With the win, the Wahawks will pick up the MVC Valley Division Championship, standing in their way of Prairie team looking for win number 15 on the year. That's boys MVC basketball presented by Hills Bank. Number 2 Waterloo West at Prairie, Thursday night at 7:20 on KGYM.
There's never been a better time to be a doer. Not with the Home Depot in your corner. And new digital tools on our Home Depot app. Like image search. Snap a picture with our app. Find just what you need. And our product locator will not only tell you how many we've got, it'll lead you right to them in the store. Oh, and if you can't make it to the store, we can deliver. From time-saving tools to game-changing innovations, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT, available on 107.5 FM, about an hour away from tip-off at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. A top 25 showdown tonight on tap between the Hawkeyes and the visiting Ohio State Buckeyes. Joining us now to give us the lowdown on Chris Holtman's program, Bill Landis, who covers the Buckeyes for The Athletic. I was just telling you earlier today how the price of the subscription at The Athletic pays for itself. Bill's work is fantastic. Was reading a couple of his articles in preparation for today's broadcast. Bill, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And you wrote that Ohio State's season has been a three-act play. We're officially in the third act right now. How did we get here?
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy journey. And I appreciate you saying what you said about The Athletic. It started out really well. You know, they were probably, you know, arguably the best team in the country. And I guess you should be a little wary of throwing that around in November and December, but they were playing really well. They started off 9-0. They had a couple really nice wins against Cincinnati, Villanova, beat a Carolina team that turns out wasn't actually that good, but they beat them on the road. And it was like a historic road loss for Carolina the night it happened. And they came back home and beat a really good Penn State team. So it looked like a really promising start, but Ohio State had a really promising start last year, and then it kind of fell off a cliff in January, and that's sort of what happened again this year. They were a little banged up. They lost Kyle Young for a little bit. They had two players serve one-game suspensions. Actually ended up winning that game where the guys were suspended, but there was just not a lot going on, but some stuff going on. Maybe they didn't handle the success all that well, and they seem to have turned it around here a little bit of late. They lost 6 of 7, and now they've won 5 of 6. It's kind of been a little topsy-turvy for Ohio State. But they played really well, I think, the last couple games. They haven't played as well as they were playing in November and December, but something closer to that. And they've done it at a time where they're down a man right now without freshman guard DJ Carden. So it's been wildly unpredictable, I think, as most of the Big Ten season has been.
What kind of ailed them in late December and then throughout January, and how have they been able to correct it as of late here into February?
They were pretty good for the most part offensively, other than turning the ball over, which I know is a major thing, but they shot it okay. They just kept turning the ball over, had a really high turnover percentage, and then they didn't defend well. I think the thing that's been consistent with Chris Holtman since he arrived at Ohio State 2 seasons ago is that for the most part, they usually defend pretty well. They usually compete hard on that end. And if they don't even have, you know, individual lockdown defenders, the collective defensive effort has usually been pretty good. And in January, it just wasn't. You know, they weren't playing a bunch of offensive juggernauts either. They were just giving up a lot of easy shots, and teams were shooting really well against them. And it seems like they have turned that around here the last couple of games. They haven't been great defensively, but they've been better. And the game they played the other night against Purdue was probably their best defensive effort since at least December.
Bill Landis with us of The Athletic. He covers the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are visiting Carver-Hawkeye Arena tonight. You mentioned DJ Carden. He's been one of the storylines to follow with his team this year. Unfortunately, not with the team while he's taking care of some mental health issues. Walk us through the timeline on how this developed and what we can expect to maybe see out of him in the future this year and hopefully down the road.
So the timing of it was a little strange only because DJ was coming off of what was at least his best game of the Big Ten slate. He had a really good game when Ohio State won at Northwestern, at Northwestern on January 26th. And then it was maybe 4 or 5 days after that, they had a week off and Chris Holtman and the team announced that DJ would be stepping away to tend to some mental health concerns. And it wasn't a thing that sort of sprung up randomly. It's really something that DJ has been dealing with even before he got to Ohio State, as far as I know. And Ohio State has been aware of it for quite some time now. And I don't know, there wasn't really one thing that happened to push it to the point where DJ walked away. I think it was just a cumulative thing. And they felt, and he felt that it was best at the time for him to take some time away. He had actually been in Iowa, Bettendorf, since then. It's my understanding that he's actually heading back to Columbus today. He's still not with the team, but he is returning to the university today. He had been taking some online courses, I think, just to stay in right standing academically. What that means for his return, I don't know. It's not going to be the kind of thing where he shows up back on campus and then, boom, he's ready to play again. I think there's protocol involved here. Obviously, it's a serious issue. It's a medical/mental thing, and then they got to make sure that DJ's in the right place to eventually come back and play. So I think maybe he'll be back only because he is back at the university. When that will be, I'm not sure. He's not going to play tonight. He's not even going to be in the same state as the team tonight. I don't think he'd play this weekend against Maryland, but you know, perhaps next week. They've got 6 games left here in the regular season. Maybe next week, maybe the week after that, he could come back, but there's no definitive timetable here. It's sort of uncharted territory.
Yeah, I know you asked Chris Holtman about that, and he said that there's a lot that needs to happen before he's ready to be back and playing with the team. But how has this team sort of changed without him on the court?
They've had to use Dwayne Washington more as a point guard, and Washington's a sophomore, was really more of a shooting guard. He was recruited as kind of a combo, but he only ever really played shooting guard here up until a couple of weeks ago when DJ left. Now, the thing with that is they had been planning to sort of make that transition anyway because DJ had been turning the ball over a bit and just didn't always look comfortable as the number one point guard. And I think he was moving toward a role where he'd play more off the ball and Dwayne would move on the ball. So that was going to kind of happen anyway. It just sort of got kickstarted. So Dwayne's been backing up CJ Walker at the point. And I think both those guys, while they're not shooting the ball terribly well at the moment, they have done a pretty good job of running the offense. They've been pretty efficient in terms of assist to turnover. Dwayne Washington in particular, I think, is a pretty good guy to sort of get into a ball screen. And he's talented enough as a scorer that you have to respect it so that he can kind of kick out to his teammates. And Ohio State, for the most part, while individual guys have had slumps, they continue to shoot the ball really well. They're kind of the only team in the Big Ten that shoots the ball with any sort of consistency home and road. They're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. So they've had two guys in Walker and Washington really, in my opinion, step up on both ends of the floor and take on some added responsibility of point guard since Carton went out.
Iowa's had a decent amount of success against Ohio State, especially at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I think the Hawkeyes have won the last three of the last four meetings between the two teams in Iowa City. Anything you can put your finger on that's led to that?
No, well, I think Iowa, like a lot of teams, is really good at home. And there have been teams in the Big Ten that have shown wild swings, I think, this year, particularly wild swings in how good they are at home and how good they are on the road. I don't know if there's anything matchup-wise that bothers Ohio State when they play Iowa. I'm not totally sure about that. It's obviously always been a pretty high-powered offensive team. So I don't know what it is exactly that led to that record, but you know, it's not like Iowa's had talented players for sure, and Ohio State, especially last year when they went to Carver-Hawkeye and really got run off the floor after the first half. I think that was a young team that got really shell shocked and a hard place to play.
How would you assess the junior season of Caleb Wesson so far?
It's been good. It's been a little inconsistent in terms of his scoring. He's not scoring around the basket as well as he has in the past, and part of that's a product of Caleb losing a little bit of weight, and maybe he's not able to throw his body around as much as he has in the past. But he sees a lot of attention when he's down there. I think it's hard to score when you're in a crowd. But on the other side of that, he's shooting the three really well. He's a really good passer. And the biggest improvement for him with the 30 to 40 pounds he's lost is how well he defends. I think he's been excellent defensively for Ohio State this year. He's been their most important defender. Their numbers when he's on the floor compared to when he's off the floor are drastically different. He ties sort of the whole defensive effort together. So for the most part, I think he's been good. People get frustrated with his finishing around the rim, but I think he's a more complete player than he has been the last 2 years.
Bill, does it just come down to which player, Wesson or Garza, stays out of foul trouble better tonight?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it comes down to. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Caleb's had some okay games against Iowa, and Luka has not really gone off to the extent that he's played this year yet against Ohio State. It'll be interesting because I think we all know Luka is not the greatest individual defender, but Caleb I think is a little better defensively. But he's also never played anybody like Luka. I don't watch every Iowa game, but I feel like every time I do watch Iowa, and Luka puts the ball up, it goes in. It's unbelievable, and he can score from multiple areas of the floor. Like, it's going to be a big test for Caleb. He's not had to defend, I think, a lot of big men who can score really from anywhere the way that Luka can. But Caleb's done a decent job of staying out of foul trouble this year. They really need him to be out of foul trouble tonight because they don't have any depth whatsoever really at center. When Caleb's off the floor, they basically play two power forwards, and the biggest one's about 6'8". So if Caleb's not on the floor, they're giving up a lot in size. So it does come down to that. And maybe Iowa is built a little more to withstand Luka not being on the floor than Ohio State is Caleb not being on the floor.
That matchup right there is interesting. We've talked about it throughout the week that we're not sure whether or not C.J. Frederick is going to play. Iowa a little bit lacking some depth, and when C.J. Frederick's not on the court, it seems like Joe Wieskamp and really Luka Garza are the only ones at times that can score. Do you expect maybe Chris Holtmann to switch up his looks and try to throw a bunch of things at Luka Garza, because it seems like no matter who they put on him one-on-one, if they try to go one-on-one with him, he's able to score against pretty much anybody in the Big Ten.
It will be interesting to monitor that. There have been times this year where Ohio State has thrown some multiple bodies at the post, but when they've done that, teams have really killed them shooting the three-point ball. So I don't know. They didn't do it much against Purdue when they played over the weekend. And I know that Luka is a little more formidable offensively than the Trevion Williams or Matt Harms are. I actually, my anticipation would be that they try to play him straight up and see if Caleb can't handle it, because they just haven't been very good in their rotations or just sort of their awareness when they start throwing multiple guys at the ball. So I think Chris Holtmann would prefer to not have to junk it up a little bit and throw multiple defenses and get a little funky with Luka, because Ohio State's not been very good when they tried to do that this year.
Ohio State wins tonight if blank happens. Fill in the blank.
Ooh, blank happens. Ohio State wins tonight, I think, if Dwayne Washington has a good night shooting the ball. I think Caleb will end up at least offensively getting his as long as he can stay out of foul trouble. They need a secondary guy. There has to be somebody else on the floor who scares you. And while Andre Wesson and Justin Ahrens comes off the bench, both those guys shoot the three really well. The most capable scorer when he's playing well is Dwayne Washington, and he seems to be growing as a point guard. If he can get his jumper back a little bit and start knocking down some threes in addition to scoring and driving the way he's been lately, I think that bodes well for Ohio State tonight.
Bill, tremendous stuff as always. Hard to believe, but won't be too long. We'll be talking football with you.
Yeah, spring football's around the corner, right?
Yeah, well, we got to get through this basketball season first. Hey, we appreciate the time, and should be a great game tonight. Thanks for the insight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bill Landis joining us of The Athletic, and again, worth every penny. If you're not a subscriber, I don't get any kickbacks from Scott Docterman for saying that, but it is a tremendous website, and Bill had a really great piece on Ohio State's season to this point. I think they were 11-1 to start the year. Got
ranked
off to
inside the top five.
A real slow start in Big Ten play, and now have won five of their last six. They're actually playing better basketball without DJ Carton, although, as Bill pointed out in his article, that's not a knock on Carton. They would very much love to have him available and on this roster right now, but he's taking care of the most important thing. He's taking care of himself, and we wish him all the best here. It's still going to be a difficult game for the Hawkeyes tonight, but you heard Bill say that if Wesson's in foul trouble, if he's not on the floor, they don't have another center. They're going to be playing basically two forwards if Wesson's not on the floor. I think that opens up a big opportunity for Iowa tonight. You figure at Carver Hawkeye Arena, maybe the officials are going to lean, at least in Big Ten play, we've seen the officiating benefit the home team. He gets in foul trouble tonight. I think Iowa...
He did last year. I don't know if you remember that contest at Carver Hawkeye Arena last year. Iowa won, I think, by 12 points, and it was because Caleb Wesson was in foul trouble. And that's a bugaboo of his. He's gotten in foul trouble at times. I think both these teams are sort of equal in the sense of if their big guy gets in foul trouble, they're in big trouble. So I think you chalked it up to a big key right there. Who stays out of foul trouble between Caleb Wesson and Luka Garza? And that's going to go a long way in deciding who wins.
Iowa is the favorite tonight, about a 2.5-point favorite. The last time I took a peek at the line available at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. And I feel pretty confident about Iowa's chances tonight, even without C.J. Frederick. I think the Hawkeyes get a little mojo going, picked up that big road win in Minneapolis. They're able to come home and carry that momentum forward with a victory over the Buckeyes. We will see. Tip off again, Carver Hawkeye Arena, in well under an hour at this point. Tickets were still available earlier today. Iowa mentioned that on social media. I think you can chalk that up to the 6 o'clock start time. If you're not going to the game tonight, ESPN TV broadcast should be a great one. Two top 25 teams battling it out at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And again, I think the Hawkeyes have what it takes to get the job done tonight. We are not done. We're still with you until 6 o'clock. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Alex will get you a big board update, and we got to do Love It or Leave It still here now that we've moved that segment to Thursdays. Lots more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, after this.
Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company, so she went to ZipRecruiter.com, posted her job, and found the right person in less than 2 weeks. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team held off Jefferson on Tuesday night in a double overtime thriller, 68-62. Jake Beckman scored 21 points, including a big three-point play in the second overtime, to lift the Saints. Xavier will host Dubuque Wallert tonight to close out the regular season before taking on Benton Community on Monday to start the Class 3A tournaments. The Xavier girls basketball team will open Class 4A regional play on Saturday by hosting either Decorah or Charles City. Game time is 5 at the Ron Thillen Gym. The Xavier wrestling team advanced one wrestler to the state tournament, which started today in Des Moines. 138-pounder Christian Stanek will represent the Saints this week. And both the boys and girls bowling teams advanced to the state tournament next week. Individually, Dale Weaver advanced for the boys and Olivia Nolte for the girls.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Take a chance on Lucky Paws Casino Night, March 7th. The Friends Helping Friends Foundation of Cedar Rapids brings you this exciting night of Vegas-style games, fab prizes, hors d'oeuvres, and more. Hosted at the National Czech and Slovak Museum.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
In life, we come to expect certain things. Light bulbs light and tigers roar. But what if we came to expect something more? At Honda, that's just what we do. And it's led us to the Honda Accord LX. With more standard torque and passenger volume than a Toyota Camry. Hurry into your local Honda dealer and test drive the Honda Accord today to see what expecting more gets you.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
Based on comparably equipped models.
522, we welcome you back in. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, and now a whole lot more with the introduction of the Jim OT, 107.5 FM. Check it out if you haven't already done so, or stick with us on our traditional ESPN outlets, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM. You can also listen to the stream online at kgymradio.com, or get caught up via podcast whenever time allows you. Again, the website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in tonight's poll question, courtesy of Emil's Hideaway. Who wins in the top 25 showdown between Ohio State and Iowa at Carver-Hawkeye Arena? Tip-off less than 40 minutes away on ESPN. Again, the Hawkeyes holding firm as a 2.5-point favorite tonight. Hey, I forgot to congratulate Kirk in Cedar Rapids, the winner of tonight's pair of tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Def Leppard and ZZ Top. They're coming to the Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines on October 10th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. to the general public. But if you've been listening all week, you know that they're actually on sale right now. And we've got a link for you on our Facebook page to the Iowa Events Center website. Click on that link, go to buy tickets for the Def Leppard ZZ Top concert. It's going to ask you for a promo code. That promo code is capital D, capital L, 2020, as in Def Leppard 2020. Capital D, capital L, 2020. That pre-sale opportunity for fans of Def Leppard and ZZ Top, good until 10 p.m. tonight. So you've still got an opportunity to get in and get some of those tickets bought up before they go on sale to the general public tomorrow. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We got a big board update on the way with the one and only Alex Kuhn.
The top 25 matchup is set to take place at Carver-Hawkeye Arena tonight as the 20th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes will entertain number 25 Ohio State. The matchup will be the only one between the two teams this season. They split the regular season matchups last season with both teams winning at home. The Hawkeyes are looking to move to within a half game of second place in the Big Ten if they get the win. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. We just found out about a half an hour ago that C.J. Frederick is not in uniform tonight, so he will not play. Today, Connor McCaffrey was named to the NCAA D1 District 6 Academic All-District team, as was Kathleen Doyle on the women's side. The UNI men are looking to stay atop the MVC standings as they have another tough road game tonight. They're taking on Greg Lansing and the Indiana State Sycamores. Indiana State has been good at home this season, but they are riding a three-game losing skid into tonight's contest. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. at the Holman Center in Terre Haute. The UNI women are at home tonight taking on Illinois State. The Panthers are looking to split the season series with the Redbirds as they fell 65-57 back on January 26th in Bloomington Normal, 6:30 p.m. for the tip-off. High school basketball tonight on our KGYM frequencies starting at 7:20. We have boys action between Waterloo West and Prairie on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 102.3 FM, and also on at 7:20, a boys matchup between Dubuque Hempstead and City High on 106.3 FM.
The regular season finale for the boys. And we appreciate all of the patronage and listening in throughout the regular season here on KGYM. And things really ramp up intensity-wise on a broadcast level as well as the play among high school boys and girls once the postseason rolls around. And that gets underway with the girls tomorrow. We'll have the full schedule. We do have the full schedule for you throughout the course of the postseason available at kgymradio.com. Let's go ahead and move on down the line. We've moved Love It or Leave It from Fridays to Thursdays. Seems to be working out well, so why mess with a good thing? Let's do Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices,
one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since
oh,
you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, another big matchup.
I love this. A big matchup in the Big Ten between two great bigs. Big all around. Luka Garza against Caleb Wesson, two of the premier post players in the Big Ten going at it. And it seems like every night in the Big Ten, we're talking about another really good post player. But I think these two are right at the top. Now, having said this, I look at Luka Garza, and I don't think that there's anybody one-on-one that can slow him down. Or that can contain him for an entire game. Maybe for a half, maybe for 10 minutes of the first half. But for an entire game, Luka Garza eventually figures out what the other team is trying to do to him and adjusts accordingly. He's the best player in the Big Ten, maybe the best player in the country at being able to do that. So what is Chris Holtmann going to do tonight? Because C.J. Frederick, if you haven't heard, will not be playing, as I mentioned on the big board. So that's one less option for Iowa offensively. I know Bill Landis said that Chris Holtmann has been a little bit skittish to send double teams at players this season, but they almost have to tonight. And you got to do everything that you can to contain Luka Garza, two, three guys, and take your chances with Connor McCaffrey. Take your chances with Bakari Evelyn or Ryan Kreener or whoever is out there for Iowa. And if they hit a bunch of three-point shots, if they go off, you tip your cap to them. But if you're Chris Holtmann, you cannot allow Luka Garza to beat you. And I'm going to be interested to see how they go about doing that. I know Caleb Wesson is a good defender. He's not good enough one-on-one to contain the overwhelming force of that Luka Garza has been in the post all season. So I love this.
Number two.
The Masked Slinger.
AJ Green, who I'm referencing here. You and I in action tonight at Terre Haute, taking on Indiana State. Panthers currently a three-point favorite on the road. They're going to get underway here shortly as well. I think that's also a 6 o'clock tip-off at the Holman Center, the house that Larry built in Terre Haute, Indiana. You and I will go as far as A.J. Green is able to take the Panthers down the stretch, and I think it merits watching tonight because he broke his nose last weekend against Loyola. He's going to be wearing the protective mask, the Bill Laimbeer plastic mask, if you will. I'm assuming they've made advancements in the technology over the last 25 years, but that mask is going to be a little bit of a hindrance. How do you see out of it? How do you breathe out of it? Those are things that he's going to have to get used to in a game situation. And just playing with the general discomfort of having a broken nose, I can't imagine it's too pleasant to be out there mixing it up. What happens if he takes another shot, inadvertent, most likely, from either friendly fire or from one of the Indiana State players? The bottom line is this: A.J. Green is a really special player. Special enough now that you've got some fans in UNI circles and elsewhere wondering whether or not he's a four-year player or whether he could be looking at going to the NBA sooner rather than later. This kid is good, and I've got my fingers crossed. I hope that UNI is able to play on the national stage in the NCAA tournament because A.J. is the type of player that America can fall in love with. Even if it's only for a couple games and a weekend with the Sweet 16, he can get you and I there. You and I can do some damage. They got to win the games that are in front of them, though, and that begins again tonight. It's sort of like a fresh start after that loss to Loyola. They got to win tonight. Indiana State's a team going in an opposite direction. They're beatable. Missouri State proved that. They went into the Holman Center and won. I think you and I does the same thing tonight. Love it.
Number three.
Squashing misconceptions.
The NFL draft scouting combine gets underway this weekend in Indianapolis, and five Hawkeyes are going to be in attendance, but a couple of marquee ones, the ones that are likely to go in the first round, have drawn a lot of discussion on Twitter, especially amongst Iowa fans. AJ Epenesa and Tristan Wirfs. Now, I've seen a lot of people, when they see Tristan Wirfs being brought up on mock drafts point out the fact that a lot of NFL draft scouts are saying that he's not a great athlete, or he's not quite athletic enough to play left tackle at the next level. And a lot of people are pointing to the fact that he's one of the best athletes in college football. He's on the freaks list. He was a swimmer. He's this, he's that. Tristan Wirfs is a fantastic athlete, but when you're talking about offensive linemen, what you're speaking of is you're talking about how fluid they move their feet and how well they bend. And that's what athleticism is judged on when it comes to offensive linemen. And with Tristan Wirfs, he's a right tackle. He's a little bit of a wider body. He's doesn't bend exceptionally well. You look at the left tackles in the NFL. He's not Taylor Lewan. He's not Nate Solder, DJ Humphreys, or Jake Matthews, or Tyron Smith. He's more of that prototypical dominant right tackle, which is pretty invaluable in the NFL. So I don't necessarily disagree with scouts when they're saying, you know what, I question whether or not he's going to be a left tackle at the next level. That's totally fine. It's not necessarily a knock against him. It's just what he is. For AJ Epenesa, the whole unathletic thing is to me a joke. I don't understand that one bit. Now, he played a little bit more of a run-stuffing role this year than he did the year before, where he was sort of the get-after-the-quarterback defensive end. But he's not Von Miller. He's not one of those bendy 4-4, 4-5 defensive ends. But he, to me, is one of the perfect combinations of size and speed. Strength and speed. His bull rush is elite, and I think he has plenty of athleticism to counter and become a dominant player at the next level. Maybe not a 20-sack-a-year guy, but like Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints, 12 to 15, a Pro Bowler at the next level. So with Tristan Wirfs, I understand where the scouts are coming from, and I don't think it's necessarily a knock against him. Great athlete, not the bendiest, not the most fluid with his foot movement. AJ Epenesa, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, the knocks against him as far as his athleticism, because he's the best of both worlds. So I think there are some misconceptions that both of those guys are going to be trying to prove doubters wrong this week in Indianapolis.
Number four.
Bigger than basketball.
Bigger than basketball. This is DJ Carton, who is not with Ohio State tonight. DJ Carton, who was heavily recruited by the University of Iowa, among a number of other schools, ultimately chose to head to Columbus. He's not with the Buckeyes right now. And it's not because lack of trying, but he's facing some mental health hurdles right now. And rather than being in the dark about this and not being open about it, he at least has acknowledged, and Chris Holtmann has been able to acknowledge publicly, that the reason that he's not with the team right now are related to mental health issues. I wish him the best. I really do. I want so desperately to see him back on the court. I would love for him to have been able to suit up against Iowa and come back to the state of Iowa and to have played in this game tonight. He's not even in Carver-Hawkeye Arena, as Bill Landis mentioned here in the 5 o'clock hour, but he did return to school in Columbus today, which I think is a huge step forward. There's a possibility that he could return to the Buckeyes at some point this season still, which has to be a welcome piece of news to Chris Holtmann and the teammates of DJ Carton as well. But there are things in life that are bigger than sports, and this is one of them. We're talking about a young man's emotional and mental health here. I don't know what the issues are behind the scenes. I don't need to, and neither does anybody else. But kudos to a young man for overcoming the stigma, and there's too much stigma nationally when people talk about mental health. Not as much as there was even 10 years ago. Used to hear that, and people would sort of cringe or clam up, and you shine a little light on it and you realize that there are other people that are going through things as bad or if not worse than you are. And again, kudos to DJ Carton. Things are bigger than basketball in this young man's life. He's taken care of himself. I want to see him back on the hardwood sooner rather than later for Ohio State. And it's too bad that he's not here in Iowa City in Eastern Iowa tonight, because his presence would make a difference for the Buckeyes as well. But again, there are some things that are bigger than basketball. Let the young man breathe. Let him get comfortable and let him get back on a basketball court on his own timeline, if that's what he ultimately chooses to do.
Number five.
Real estate tracker.
We have the flight tracker when it comes to college coaching searches or NFL coaching searches or really anything. And I love the flight tracker because it gives you an idea of where a coach is heading. Where if a flight, it goes from, let's just say, Fayetteville, Arkansas to Iowa City like it did last year. People are wondering, is Fran McCaffrey interviewing for the Arkansas job? And a lot of times there's a little bit of merit to the flight tracker. What I cannot stand is this stupid real estate tracking that people try to say, well, Tom Brady just bought a house in Las Vegas. That means he's going to the Raiders. Tom Brady just bought a house in Nashville. That means he's going to the Titans. How often does that actually work out? And I always go back to this. How often do you have a discussion with people, what would you do if you won the lottery, right? Everybody has that discussion.
At least five times a day.
What is the first thing that you say?
I know what my answer would be.
I'd buy property in this city. I'd buy property in that city. Rich people buy houses in a lot of places. It's what they do. Doesn't mean that they're going to be moving there. It doesn't mean that they're going to be taking a job in said city. When you have a lot of money, you buy property all over the country, sometimes all over the world. So please let us stop acting and trying to project where your favorite free agent is going to end up based on where they're buying a house, because it never works out. I'm not going to say never, but 90% of the time, it doesn't work out. I leave this.
Number six.
Marquee.
I am neither going to love this nor leave this. I, along with a number of other Cubs fans, have some trepidation over the launch of the Marquee Sports Network. I'm excited because as a DirecTV subscriber, I do have access to it. It's Channel 664, and it's going to make its debut on Saturday. There are a number of Cubs fans that right now are a little concerned that their cable or TV provider doesn't have an agreement in place with Marquee. The Los Angeles Dodgers launched their TV network 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been an unmitigated disaster. And this isn't shaping up to be that great for the Cubs right now. But I'm excited about the opportunity to see what the programming on the Marquee Sports Network offers. I'm going to get a look at A.J. Puck, the Cedar Rapids native, making his Cactus League debut, starting the opener for the Athletics against the Cubs on Saturday. Probably wouldn't get to see that if it weren't for the Marquee Network. So how do you fill 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with programming nothing but baseball related and one team in particular? So I'm glad I don't have that problem. But hopefully folks who want access to the Marquee Sports Network can get their hands on either Hulu TV or one of their subscribers adds this, but it's going to be fascinating to watch this play out, and I'm looking forward to Saturday because it's the return of baseball. We can finally stop fixating on Rob Manfred's movement to dismantle the minor leagues and Rob Manfred's bungling of the Astros sign-stealing scandals, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to take all the air out of the balloon on one of my later Love It or Leave It's here, but finally time to start playing some baseball again. And I get to watch more of it than ever, courtesy of the Marquee Network. So I guess I talked myself into a love it.
Number seven.
Better late than never.
See, Todd, in past years, about 2 years ago, I used to announce games on what used to be called the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, covering the schools in the Iowa City area. And it was a great time. Meeting all the athletic directors, the fans, the parents, the athletes, the coaches, they were all fantastic.
one of the programs that I got to cover was the Regina Regals. And just a fantastic program led by Marv Cook. And the overall culture that he has built there is one of the best in the state of Iowa. And the people there were great. And they had an unprecedented amount of success. At one point, they won six consecutive state championships. Now their numbers have been down a little bit, and that's been a little bit of a hindrance to them. But there was a reshuffling of the classes recently, and they went from Class 1A down to Class A. And once again, this is not a shot at Regina, but this is a shot at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. That is absolutely ridiculous for them to go down a class with the amount of success that they have had at 1A. And I don't think it's fair to the other schools in Class A. I don't think it's fair to the athletes. I don't think it's fair to Regina for them to have the success that they've had and not being able to play the competition that they should be playing. So I know this happened about 3 weeks ago, and sometimes people accuse me of neglecting high school sports in Iowa, but I know a lot of people were frustrated by this. I was as well. I leave this 1,000 times over. The Regina Regals are one of the better programs in the state of Iowa, and they need to be playing at the classification level against competition that they should be playing at.
Number 8.
Back on top.
Back on top. That's where the Iowa wrestling program seems to be at this point. I found it amazing that at William Hill, you can wager on Iowa's home finale against Oklahoma State. The Hawkeyes are a 23.5-point favorite on the mats against the Cowboys. They've got an opportunity to do something that they have never done in school history, and that's finish the season with 10 All-Americans. I don't know whether or not they're going to be able to get there or not, but it's been a fun season, a fun journey. Capped off the cherry on top of the sundae, if you will, was that tremendous home duel recently against Penn State, number 1 and number 2, and he had the DeSanto injury, and things did not work out the way that Iowa was expecting it to, but they still overcame that adversity and beat Cale Sanderson and Penn State. There's still a lot of wrestling left. They've still got the Big Ten Conference Tournament, and they've still got the NCAA Tournament, but I'll admit I was very skeptical that Iowa could get back to this level of wrestling, even if only temporary. We're not talking about a decade or decades of dominance. I didn't know whether they could even get here for a short period of time. Shame on me for doubting Tom Brands, because they're finally back. And if you ask Tom Brands if they're back right now, he'd probably tell you, no, they're not back, because I don't think he's pleased with where they're. He's not going to be pleased until there's total world domination. And the Hawks are looking pretty good so far this year toward total world domination. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the next several weeks has in store for the Iowa wrestling program. And great things are in store for them. They've got the funding in place. They're starting to get the approval from the Board of Regents for improving Carver Hawkeye Arena and building that new training facility adjacent to Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's a great time to be an Iowa wrestler. It's a great time to be Tom Brands, especially since he just got that contract extension. And it's a great time to be an Iowa wrestling fan. Love it.
Number 9.
Dome field advantage.
I'm lukewarm on this, Todd. Our St. Louis Battlehawks are playing the first football game in the Dome at America Center. It no longer has a title sponsor. The Dome at America Center in St. Louis.
Let's just call it the Nest. It's the Nest.
At the Nest in over 2 years. And I'm a little nervous. Now, over 28,000 tickets have been sold to this game. I think you have to pay up over triple digits to get into the game. But this is sort of like, and I don't mean to dramatize this too much, but this is sort of like
sports talk radio. We dramatize everything.
When a husband and wife get divorced and everybody moves out of the house and the kids years later go back to the house and kind of look at it and remember it fondly, yet remember kind of the rough times. That's kind of what it's going to be like for me walking up near the Dome on Sunday. a place where I spent hundreds of Sundays growing up and have a lot of fond memories, but also saw a lot of terrible football and also got my heart ripped out from under me, or ripped out of me, I should say, out from under me, ripped out of me a couple of years ago by the Los Angeles Rams. I am excited yet very nervous, if that makes sense. So I'm going to say I like this, and we're going to move on, and I'm going to feel better about that because, Todd, you didn't commit to the marquee one, so we're even on this round of Love It or Leave It.
Number 10.
Rob Manfred. I think I know which direction you're going to go on this one.
I am absolutely leaving Major League Baseball's commissioner. It should be obvious to anybody who's listened to the program, but I could not have more disdain for virtually any other human being living on this planet right now than I do for the commissioner of Major League Baseball, who is in charge of a sport that he really doesn't seem to enjoy or care about. He works at the behest of the 30 owners. He's doing a great job making them money, but he's not doing a great job of growing the game. And if you're not going to be a steward for the game that you're a commissioner of, then you need to step aside, get the hell out of the way, and let somebody who loves the game take over and figure out a path forward for baseball here in the 21st century. I think former President George W. Bush should be a great choice. He was an owner at one point in time. It's not exactly like he's not going to have their best interests at heart, but at least he appreciates the game of baseball. And there's plenty of other options out there as well, names that maybe you're familiar with, some that you're probably not. But at this point, it's pretty clear that Rob Manfred has lost any respect that he had among the majority of the players. And when the players don't respect management and the commissioner, it's going to lead to a lot of issues, especially with the collective bargaining agreement coming up for renegotiation after this coming season. Baseball's got a lot of issues facing it, and I don't think the sport has the right man in charge. Leave Rob Manfred.
If you don't love it, leave it.
And that will take us to our final break of the night, 5:49. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will figure out what's going on at Carver Hawkeye Arena. If there's any late breaking news to bring you with regard to the Hawkeyes and the Buckeyes, we'll have it for you when we return after this.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum Interior Paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-253-3660. 1-800-253-3660.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $22 Shell gift card with a Pennzoil full synthetic purchase. Ends 2/23/20. Terms apply. Details at Pennzoil.com/oil change offer.
I'm Joe Coy, stand-up comedian, and I'm here to toast my mother. Sam Adams is the best beer for this toast. It's grassroots, it's family. What I take from that is the same thing that I got from my mom. Mom, when you came to this country, it was to give the kids an opportunity that you knew that you would never have. Thank you for everything you sacrificed. So this is for you.
I'm so proud of you.
And I love you so much. Oh my God, bottoms up. Slow down, lady.
That's good.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Welcome back in as we wrap up a Thursday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, now with 200% more buttons on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 102.3 FM, as well as the all-new Jim O.T. on 107.5 FM. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pushing the Odds with Matt Peralt between 12 and 3 or some of the other SB Nation programming we've got on 107.5 FM throughout the day, make sure you check it out tomorrow. There should be a lot of great information heading into another fantastic weekend of sports. Thomas Bendit, who covers the Big Ten as well as the Michigan Wolverines, will be with us tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on former Michigan coach John Beilein and a bizarre situation with the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's no other way to put it. John Beilein walking away from $12 million and 4 years remaining on his contract, reassigned to another job in the Cavaliers organization. We'll also get Thomas's thoughts on the Big Ten as a whole as the race continues to tighten up over the final 2.5-3 weeks of the regular season. There could be a little separation tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Iowa and Ohio State, the Buckeyes have played themselves back into a discussion of a top four regular season finish and a double bye at the Big Ten tournament. They're close. They're within striking distance, but they need more wins in order to accomplish it. The Hawkeyes also trying to solidify their foothold in the top tier of the conference. No C.J. Frederick tonight in street clothes, came out for warm-ups, but as Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com pointed out on Twitter, the fact that it was a game-time decision is boding well for Iowa and C.J. Frederick. Remember, this is a guy who had the foot injury in January that people thought he would be out for 4 to 6 weeks, and he was back in a week. So I think we see him sooner rather than later. Unfortunately, Alex, tonight we don't see him against Ohio State. And that is, I mean, let's be honest here, that is going to cause some issues for Iowa.
It will. And you take away one of their best shooters and a floor spacer. We've discussed it at nauseam that when C.J. Frederick's not on the floor, Iowa isn't quite as good of a team. But they're at home. Luka Garza is going to get his. They need a big night from Joe Wieskamp. They need to stay out of foul trouble, and they need a big night from Joe Wieskamp. Now, every time this season that Joe Wieskamp has had a down game, he has bounced back with an outstanding game. Can he do it again tonight? If he can, Iowa wins. If not, that's where things get hairy against a really good Ohio State team that's playing some of their best basketball since the early part of the non-conference schedule.
That's me tonight. I can't imagine Joe Wieskamp having back-to-back off nights,
right.
And he certainly was off at Williams Arena over the weekend. Got some big rebounds, but he wasn't scoring, and Iowa without Frederick needs Wieskamp to step up and score tonight. I think Luka Garza is going to have a Luka Garza-type night. Him and Caleb Wesson alone worth the price of admission. Tickets still available. You can walk up to the ticket window at Carver-Hawkeye Arena right now and get into the building for a top 25 showdown. Kind of hard to fathom. Probably can't get to the Holman Center in Terre Haute in time for tip-off as they're about ready to get underway in the Missouri Valley as well tonight. You and I looking for a big road win. They should get it against Indiana State in Terre Haute. Didn't get a chance to mention Drake avoiding a big-time upset last night at the Knapp Center. Had to work overtime to beat Valparaiso 77-75, but Darren DeVries and the Bulldogs putting another win in the victory column there and continuing to play good basketball heading toward Arch Madness next month in St. Louis. That will do it for another edition of local programming. Do not forget that local programming kicks off tomorrow, not with this show, but with the gym class. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes coming your way on a Friday. They'll have a solid 60 minutes for you, looking back on whatever takes place at Carver-Hawkeye Arena tonight between Iowa and Ohio State. A lot of state wrestling and high school basketball discussion as well. The postseason getting underway. Scott and Mark will have it all covered for you between 3 and 4. And then we're back. Thomas Bendit, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us at 5 o'clock tomorrow, as well as another guy who probably needs to have a good game tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Two-sport standout for the Hawkeyes, the one and only Connor McCaffrey, with us tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. We'll talk Hawkeye hoops and baseball with Connor. It's all on the way. Local programming returns tomorrow right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio and more, KGYM.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix.